You're listening to Stateside. I'm April Baer. More than a decade ago, a West Michigan hospital system decided to take a federal grant for epidemic preparedness. At the time, it might have sounded like a random decision. But today, Spectrum Health, based in Grand Rapids, considers itself as prepared as any organization of its size can be for the surge in coronavirus cases. Mark Van Dyke is manager of business assurance for Spectrum Health. What his title means is that he's in charge of making sure that staff knows what to do in an emergency, but also ensuring that supplies and business operations and other things keep flowing as smoothly as possible, even during a pandemic. Mark Van Dyke, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
Your background is in emergency preparedness. Have you ever been through anything remotely like this before?
Not necessarily in real life, but definitely in planning. We actually started this type of planning over 10 years ago when we received a federal grant from the CDC on pandemic planning. When we received that grant, we really took initiative to say, yes, if this were to happen in our area, in our country, we want to be ready. We want to be able to serve our customers and our patients. And so we have been exercising this plan, talking about this plan for a long time. And while we've had instances of scares like Ebola, SARS, MERS-CoV, we've never actually enacted our plans to this level except in exercising.
Can you tell us a little bit about the moment at which you realized that this was going to be something of pandemic proportions, not just in Wuhan, not just in Italy, but here in Michigan as well?
I would say that while we had gone through our early steps in December and in January, those are very typical steps for us to take during even a normal influenza season. When we brought up our pandemic task force in early January, we quickly realized that the epidemiology reports that were coming out of Wuhan, China, were different. This was spreading faster and more efficiently than other things that we had seen. When it had come into the United States in the Seattle area, we realized that we had to accelerate our planning. And so working through that, I would say probably in early February, we realized that this was not going to stop. This was not a typical situation that we had practiced for in the past, that we needed to open our command center and be prepared to respond to a surge of patients in our area.
We have felt as though we are giving the word unprecedented a pretty serious workout in describing the current conditions right now. Talk to us about how you prepare a hospital system for something like that.
There are several stages in pandemic planning. First, ensuring that our staff are available during the surge of patients that's coming and making sure that we're taking every precaution that we can to make sure that they are safe and healthy. The next thing is to ensure that we have beds and staff available is by eliminating non-essential services like elective procedures, well child visits, other services that are not for emergency care. What we're doing is we're reducing the number of people in our facility. We're reducing the number of beds that are taken by an elective procedure. And so we're freeing up that staff and that space to take on a patient that may be impacted during the pandemic. And so that when the surge happens, we are actually just refilling our hospital rather than having to surge outside of our hospital.
Was there anything that your team was able to do in terms of supplies once it became evident that things like ventilators and masks and gloves and cleaning supplies were going to be in very, very high demand?
So, you know, we're all very well aware that there are shortages across the country in ventilators and N95 masks. We have taken every precaution possible to ensure that our staff are using the proper protective equipment in the right moment and training our staff and retraining our staff and assuring that they are using the equipment properly. And we're working along with our state agencies and our national agencies trying to actively resolve those issues. We are following the CDC guidelines for acceptable alternatives, and we continually prioritize based on the treatment and care needs of our patients.
Can you give us an example of what it means to use equipment and supplies at I think the phrase you used was at the appropriate time?
Sure. You know, when there is an abundance of supply, we allow ourselves to take additional precautions in situations. And in a pandemic where we have a scarce resource, we want to continue to educate our staff about what is the proper protective equipment for in the moment. So if a patient with that is not associated with COVID-19 or not associated with a respiratory illness, if they don't have the indication that they need additional protection, we work with our infection prevention team as well as our personal protective equipment experts, and we talk to our staff about what is the appropriate level of personal protective equipment for this patient versus the patient that they'll see next. And this resolves a lot of anxiety in our staff and makes sure that they feel safe going into every patient room and make sure that they're safe and make sure that we have the resources long-term so that we are conserving and properly using our PPE during this time.
What are you feeling right now as you look to the east side of the state? You know, the governor stated publicly that Beaumont Hospital is pretty close to capacity right now. Does that weigh on your mind at all?
Yeah, you know, we saw it hit Seattle. We saw it hit some of the larger cities on the West Coast, then over to New York, and now on the east side of Michigan. It's just getting closer, and our mindset of readiness continues to increase. And so we are ready for the surge when it hits the west side of the state. We're ready to increase our numbers of patients. And while it just continues to get closer and seems inevitable to hit the west side of Michigan, we have been in a readiness stance for several weeks now and feeling very prepared.
Did I hear you mention that you're working with some equipment suppliers who are stepping in to make things either at a higher capacity or make things that they don't usually make to try to help out with demand?
Yeah, so we've had a tremendous amount of outpouring from a lot of different partners, and I don't want to leave anyone out, but one that I'll mention just off the top of my head is Amway, who started producing hand sanitizer for us and offered it as a donation to our hospital. So we recently established an alternate care site, which is the official term for moving patients outside your traditional hospital, and working with Grand Valley State University, who has offered up their Cook DeVos Science Building. And this is not just something they just did. This has been a long-term relationship that we have practiced where we can establish up to a 250-bed hospital within their health science building, which is right across from our medical center. And just the outpouring of support from the Grand Valley community and all of the companies that have to come together to ensure that we have the right equipment in a facility like that to increase our capabilities in downtown Grand Rapids is just, it's mind-blowing, really.
Mark, can you tell us a little bit about the specialized biocontainment unit within Spectrum? It was something that was developed during the 2014 Ebola outbreak. How useful is that in a situation like the one we're facing now with the new coronavirus?
It's not from a perspective of technology and space, because we will quickly outgrow that space. But what is helpful as being the Tier 1 infectious disease unit is that we have process in place to assist our staff with personal protective equipment to keep them safe. One thing that came out of that unit was something that we call the hot zone boss. And I'm not sure that we came up with that. I think we probably borrowed that from a healthcare friend. But what we do is we have a staff member who is specifically trained in how to put on and take off PPE, which can be the most dangerous spot for a healthcare worker. And they watch our staff who are entering and exiting rooms to ensure that the gloves and the masks are taking off properly to limit the exposure to infectious diseases. And that is valuable in a situation like Ebola, where something is highly infectious, and even something now with COVID-19 for, number one, limiting spread, and number two, ensuring that our staff feel comfortable in this situation.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Mark Van Dyke, Manager of Business Assurance for Spectrum Health. What that title means is that he's in charge of the emergency preparedness planning that has become one of the cornerstones of Spectrum's business. Information changes so quickly as COVID-19 has spread. How are you and the staff keeping up on what's going on?
So, yes, it does change quickly. So what we have established is a formal command center that has many different branches. And our command center, like many command centers in healthcare, activate at different levels. And we have gone from a single room in our typical operations command center to multiple rooms spread out across our organization. But one of the goals of our infectious disease team is to continue to monitor the World Health Organization and the CDC websites for any changes related to guidelines on personal protective equipment. Another group that we have is called the data and analytics team that is monitoring what we are seeing and what others are seeing in our area, in our region, in our country, so that we can have predictive modeling related to what we believe will be coming next.
Can you give me an example of like the kind of trend or information that is important?
So a lot of the data they're trending is equipment and supplies. How much do we have on hand? How much donations are coming in? Our staff ill calls, we are tracking that. We are tracking the number of patients that we're seeing in our virtual screening assessment. We have a virtual screening as well as a telehealth system set up. So all of those trends will lead us into analytical data that will show us what we can expect as we climb this curve.
Can you tell us anything about how many patients Spectrum can test every day and how fast the results are coming back?
So I can tell you that we now have the capability to test in our own lab, and in that lab we can test up to 700 patients a day.
Wow. Does that mean that people can't? I mean, I don't want to start off a rush to the doors of Spectrum, but are you close to being able to test people who, and anyone whose doctor refers them over?
The limitation that we have is the actual viral media that runs the test. So testing capabilities versus the ability to actually run a test on a patient is something that obviously we've heard about in the news, and we're working through that process with our suppliers, and we're trying to figure out different methodologies. But we have a fantastic virtual medicine program called Spectrum Health Now that we can process through people and screen people through, and if it's appropriate, we get them tested. Now, we do follow our criteria and who is getting tested, right? And so it's not just anyone who asked to get tested. We have very specific criteria, starting with our critical care patients and our inpatients, to ensure that we're still want to make sure that the people who are in need to be hospitalized are getting the appropriate care for what they have tested positive for.
Mark, stories coming out of Italy, I think, represented a wake-up call for a lot of us who may not have thought that we would see true scarcity of healthcare and medical care during our lifetimes. And we know that a lot of hospitals overseas have struggled with decisions about the best use of scarce equipment and staff time. Can you tell us about how emergency planning addresses those issues?
So, again, I'll reference the CDC document that we wrote in 2008, discussed the scarce resource allocation and how will we deal with that exact situation during a pandemic. And a lot of it has to do with understanding patient by patient what is needed, is it available, and if there's a decision to make. Several weeks ago, we stood up our ethics committee who will review these situations if they come to us. We have re-looked at and made changes where appropriate just due to time, and talked about what will this look like if it comes here. So I agree, we've never experienced that level of scarce resources here in our lifetime. And our hope is that we have taken protections in our area and in our state under the governor's orders and by the directive of our CEO well in advance to minimize exposure in our area, that we are flattening that curve and we hopefully will not experience this.
It's obvious that you and your team have done a tremendous amount of thinking about all of this, but is there anything that's still keeping you up at night?
There are two things that are constantly on my mind. The first being that I want our staff to know that we are doing everything for their safety and making decisions for their safety, and prioritizing what they are doing to make sure that they stay safe through this thing. And the second thing is that our patients and our community know that we're ready. We're ready to handle this in West Michigan. We have discussed this. We've planned it. We've practiced it. And while, yes, this is going to happen, we're going to manage it the best of our ability. And, you know, we also want to make sure that our community is doing their part. And we have to rely on our community to follow the executive order of the governor and to follow the instructions they've been given to stay home and stay safe. And we need to work together to flatten that curve.
Yeah. Some other hospital administrators have been sounding the alarm that the business side of their operations are going way out of balance. One of the things that you're responsible for is figuring out how systems like payroll will keep going in the course of an epidemic or a pandemic. In other places, elective surgeries, which keep cash flowing, have come to a standstill. Do you have anything in place that might insulate Spectrum from that kind of trouble, or are you very far from that point?
So we have made decisions, and I'm going to give a lot of credit to our CEO and our senior leadership team, that we are making decisions about making sure our staff are safe and our community is safe. And we are doing a fair amount of work, as documented, and how to do this process by the response agencies that are out there, including FEMA, of how to document financial situations during this time. And that was one of the first things that we always do during any type of disaster, is understand the cost related to this. Our stance is that if we don't do the proactive measures that we have taken place, including the cancellation of elective surgeries, the cost that we will incur in the future for not being ready will be far greater and far more debilitating than what we're doing today.
Mark, as someone who's overseeing emergency preparedness literally in the middle of a global pandemic, can you share anything with us about what your life has been like over the past couple of weeks?
A lot. It's been a lot of work and a lot of hours, and even a couple naps in my office. Don't tell my boss. And thankfully, because of the emphasis that we put on preparedness at Spectrum Health, I have a tremendous team that's supporting us, and they pick up where I lack in, and they are an unbelievable team that has been supporting this effort 24/7. And so there's great comfort in the fact that I'm not alone. And while, yes, it's busy, and yes, there's a lot of phone calls even when you do get home, and unfortunately less than ideal meals sometimes, this is part of the response plan that we have planned for and practiced for. And part of me is just extremely proud to be here with this organization at this time.
Mark Van Dyke, thank you so much for everything that you're doing and for taking some time to talk to us.
Thank you.
Mark Van Dyke is Manager of Business Assurance for Spectrum Health in Kent County.